That's how you start out a Friday and into a weekend, Jimmy. That's a jam right there. Crowder is with us. He's at the MTV Road Rules Challenge. Where you at?
Salt Lake City. X Games.
I didn't even know. I was telling Solana yesterday. I didn't really even know that the X Games were still going on. I didn't know that that was a thing.
The 30th year of the X Games. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's pretty big. I was talking to Solana before the show. Like, the activation is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing if it's 30 years old, it's super popular. I've just aged out. Like, yeah. I didn't realize that it was still a thing. And then when you had told us you're at the X Games, I was like, isn't that part of Road Rules? Like, isn't that on MTV? I didn't even know what it was. So
you have not aged out. Because I watched a street biker yesterday that's 56 years old.
Oh, really? All right, maybe I should take that up.
Hawk, I don't know. Because them jokers fall. I fell.
Yeah, tell us what happened to you.
So, you know, Nyjah Houston, he's like the most famous X Games guy, the light-skinned skateboarder.
Okay, I do not.
Never mind. Well, somebody might know him. But he's a gold medalist, 15-time champion. Like, he's a prodigy. And we're
can't be better than Tony Hawk.
If you look up best skateboarders ever, they bring up him and Tony Hawk together.
Is this an Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark situation we have here?
Jesus Christ.
Because I'm going with Tony Hawk.
I'm going with our new point guard that he drafted. But I'm there with all the professional skateboarders, and we're right next to the little course. And they're set up to do interviews there. And they're practicing their tricks. And they're coming over. Hey, man, jump on. So about the fifth dude that said jumped on, I said, okay, I'll go down the ramp. But I bloom. Fell, did like a backflip.
One not of those things that like the U-shape thing?
No, not the U-shape. Just like it's called a street course. So it's like a smaller ramp. I wouldn't go down the U. But I went down the U. I made it down the U. But then skateboards have no brakes. So I started heading towards a big cement wall. And I was like, I have to do something right now. And then I just dove off and did a backflip, landed on my head. It was kind of ugly.
You know what's been going on with you lately and your physical prowess or lack thereof. Why would you attempt this?
When I broke my heels, the orthopedist told me testosterone was the worst thing ever invented. Because they amped you up. One skateboarder, two skateboarders, three, four. He amped me up. And I was like, man, it's just skateboarding. I got skateboarded as a kid. And then now my whole back is sore. I'm taking Advil every 2 hours.
More testosterone than you do memories.
And athleticism. I'm starting to figure this out, too.
Well, that we knew.
And meniscus and cartilage and, you know, all the stuff you kind of need to be an athlete. All that's
gone. That we knew. Well, that's fun. I can't wait to see that. I'm assuming we'll see that on the pivot at some point.
Yes, I think it's going to be today sometime. I'm hoping it's 3:30 so that it can be during the show.
That'd be great. Tonight is the NHL draft. By the way, the Heat's first round pick is Kasparis Jakučonis. So I wanted you to hear it more and more so that by the time the season rolls around, Kasparis Jakučonis will just kind of roll off the tongue.
Kasparis Jakučonis.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that.
Kasparis Jakučonis.
Kasparis Jakučonis. NHL draft is tonight. A couple things. So there's a bunch of rumors swirling because the NHLPA, they're coming up with a new contract. There's not going to be any kind of work stoppage in the NHL. But one of the things that seems to be happening, they're going to go from 82 regular season games to 84 regular season games. Not this coming season, but the following season. So just like any other league that wants to make more money. And the argument, obviously, to the players is, we make more money, we spread around more money. Really, no one says no to that.
Yes, yes. Am I getting my same check for the 83rd game that I got the 82nd game?
Right.
I don't want to prorate. Don't prorate me. Right, I need the same numbers. Yeah.
So you're telling me I get two more game checks?
That's
okay. I'm signing up. What one of the things that I did see, though, and this disappoints me and hurts me to my core, it looks like they're getting rid of the E-bug. That's the emergency backup goaltender.
Wow.
Which has created some of the greatest sports stories. You know, the the out of nowhere, he's an insurance salesman sitting in the stands, and all of a sudden he's a goalie in an NHL game. I didn't read the specifics of it. I'm guessing in a couple of seasons, they'll allow you to carry maybe a third goalie without it counting against roster spots.
Yeah.
And that would eliminate the need for an e-bug, which has been one of the greatest sports like little stories over the last 10, 15 years.
Isn't that extremely irresponsible?
I love it, though. That's what makes it so great.
Yeah. It's silly.
It's like you talk about the relatability thing. I feel like in a pinch, if someone needed something at any professional athletic competition, in a pinch, I could run down there and do whatever you need for a couple plays, a couple of whatevers.
You could get in that net and stop a puck from coming at you.
I think I could get to the net.
Fall
I'm
down
not
to
even
your
certain
knees.
That I could, but I think I could get to the net.
That's special.
Yeah.
You mean like before play starts, just everybody
like
gets out
get
onto,
from the bench to the net.
Onto
like
the ice.
They put me into the goalie uniform with all right. the pads and whatever, and I would right. have to get to the net.
When's the last time you skated on ice?
Oh, I must have been, it had to be maybe a 12-year-old's birthday party when I was 12. So 69. I'm not kidding you. Probably 81. 1981.
67 years ago.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What? You don't think I could get from the bench to the net in goalie?
No. No.
You don't think I could just get there?
I don't think you could leave. I don't think you could leave the bench and make it to the net. There's no way.
I feel like we have an athletic challenge upon us right here. All I have to do is put on professional goalies, padding, stick, helmet, all that stuff.
And make it to the net.
From the bench to the net.
That's it. And I'll put up whatever you want me to.
You haven't skated in 40 years, 50 years, maybe?
Yeah, why would I go ice skating?
I don't know. Isn't that like something you do with your with a kid? I mean, I know your son's way older, but when he was a little kid, you can take him to an ice skating ring?
We're in South Florida.
Solana, I actually take my kids to the ice skating rink. And Davey, there's one by C.B. Smith Park, and I just cheer him on from the side.
Yeah, but you have no knees.
And you think Hawk has hawking knees?
You know I'm the most athletic person on this show. Yeah,
he's the healthiest person on the show, man. What about like Rockefeller Center, Hawk? You go to the city during wintertime,
well,
a little romantic
okay.
evening.
I've probably done Rockefeller Center, and I've probably done one of those lame cruise ship ice skating things, ice. It's just plastic made to look like ice.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is one of them times when I get on Solana's side and I'm scared. Because Solana really thinks he could play goalie if he had to run the point for the Heat for a couple plays.
You can hear the way that he's talking about skating. He thinks he's an ice skater. Like, I can just tell the way that he's like, oh, what do you mean you've never been ice skating? You can tell that he thinks he's some sort of ice skating expert, and you can only imagine what would go on with him on the ice. You can only imagine.
Solana, what sports could you play at a high level, like at a professional level if they needed you?
Pre-ACL injury, I still think I would have taken John Crotty in a one-on-one.
The Panthers tonight, by the way, they have draft picks in selections in the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth round, and the seventh round. They have nothing in the first three rounds. So that's the trade-off when you win a couple of cups and you traded away some of your draft picks for, I don't know, Brad Marchand. I don't even know if that was this year's pick or not. I don't know. I know they did end up trading a first-round pick for him. But, I don't think there's any complaints coming out of Panthers Nation. 1 week from today is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Yes.
And the return of Joey Chestnut. No, he had a one-year hiatus. We're at loggerheads, and they have figured it out. And George Shea, longtime friend of the show, and the commissioner of Major League Eating, and truly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, carnival barker in the history of the world, he's going to join us today to talk about the hot dog eating contest, which again, 1 week from today, right? Isn't the 4th of July next Friday? Yeah. 1 week from today at Coney Island, George Shea will give us a little preview of what we can expect. Let's begin today's show with headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Yeah, E-Rod actually replacing Kulikov in terms of the schedule. So for those of you who have been keeping track, E-Rod will be there. By the way, Hawk, really quickly, before we get to headlines, just as an aside, you mentioned ice skating on a cruise. Bro, you guys have to watch on Netflix. It got released this week.
I know. I'm going to watch it this weekend. You watch it, Crowder?
I watched it already.
The poop cruise?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
The craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
So I've looked at it a couple times on Netflix. I haven't pulled the trigger. And then this morning, I read an article about it in the Washington Post.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was 12 years already. I felt like it was more recent.
2013, man.
12 years. I read this article in the Washington Post detailing some of the stuff that they show in the documentary. So I've got that on my to-do list for the weekend.
You talk about like the year 2020, whatever. So it's 2013, 12 years ago, whatever. The survival mode kicks in the human beings and they turn into crazy people.
It shows you how reliant we are on, like, we don't realize just you lose electricity. You lose all the things we take for granted, which obviously is flushing a toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you want to talk about Lord of the Flies. Yeah. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You do anything you can not to be pooping in a bag, even if it means throwing other passengers overboard.
And I think that they could have dealt with it much differently.
Of course.
They weren't in the middle of Antarctica. They
when
were
you
in
say
the Gulf
they,
of Mexico.
You're talking about the Carnival line, Carnival cruises, or are you talking about the passengers?
I'm talking about Carnival. I'm talking about the Coast Guard. I'm talking about everybody.
Of course.
They're not in the middle of the Pacific where no one gets to them. They're in the damn Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah,
couldn't you helicopter in some generators?
Well, no. So, well, I guess I don't want to spoil it, Crowder.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying not to say too much. But
what,
crazy.
What we end up, we know this, was that there was a series of fires on the Carnival ships that were all made on that line, like that specific line that came out. There was a series of fires, and most of the fires, what happened would be there's like five engines, one of them catches fire, the built-in like fire system would obviously turn down the fire, take out the fire, and then the other motors would be there and they would be fine. And they would get on with their cruise. Everything would be okay. Well, guess what? In this specific fire, the other engines weren't going to work either because all of the power cables from the motor room that power on the ship were burnt to a crisp. So it didn't matter that okay. ship, but they couldn't find out. They couldn't find that out until the fire was done. And guess what? That was hours into the process, well, and they hadn't told anybody anything.
Couldn't they helicopter in or ship in porta potties and just line, 25 porta potties? I mean, those decks are huge.
Yes, Huck. Or how about you just pull some big ass boats up, pile a bunch of people on, and drive them off the boat? Like, I'm sitting there the whole thing saying, like, I could figure this out with three beers and a couple boats. What are y'all doing?
But the bottom line is this the expenses that were incurred by Carnival on this is why they couldn't re-sign Mike Miller?
That's what it was.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That damn amnesty clause, man. Damn it.
LeBron would still be here. We'd be having two parades a year.
Watch it though. It blew my mind.
Watch it. I'm gonna
watch
it.
It blew my mind.
Yeah, it was really, really good. But
because I don't like raw sewage.
You're gonna see some raw sewage.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Oh
yeah.
You're gonna see sewage.
I don't like that. I'm not a fan of walking in poop, seeing poop. Like I'm not a fan of that.
Well, how about seeing people walk in poop barefoot? Do you like that?
And then you can't wash it off, right? Is there any functioning water?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
No electricity, food spoils.
Yeah.
No AC, no lights, crazy.
Yeah, I don't like that. They still do bingo?
Still do bingo. Bingo's happening the whole time.
Yeah. Man, you're fine.
The ice cream machine worked for the first 2 days as well. So, I mean,
yeah. How bad could it be?
You got poop bingo going on tonight at 8:30.
The funny part was that the lady pretty much said, you know, we can't lower people onto the life rafts and into another cruise ship because it would just take too long. It's unreasonable. Oh, yeah. Well, 4 days without power is actually better. Right. Let's do that instead.
Yeah. How about we take a vote on this?
I would jump off the boat and climb into the little transport ship.
Well, no joke, Crowder. I was thinking,
we could have figured this out in 10 minutes on an Aperol Spritz.
Couldn't you just call? I mean, I guess they had no phone service, but couldn't you get word to someone? Like, I don't care about everybody else, but get me a chopper. I'll pay the cost. Like, I got to get off this thing.
Yeah.
Huck, I know Mike, the captain I fish with. I could have get him to come pick me up. No problem.
Right.
It's in the Gulf.
Right. Or just at least bring you your poop bucket. Because you have your own, you know.
When the other Carnival ship that brought them supplies came closer, and I'm pretty sure they held this out. I'm pretty sure the only thing the other Carnival ship brought them was more poop bags. I'm convinced. But when it comes so close, right, and it, Hawk, like, it's great because that ship comes close and everybody on the boat gets to the deck to try to connect to the ship's Wi-Fi. So they're showing these videos of thousands of people just standing there.
Says in the Washington Post article, that's when the public at large became very aware of what was actually going on this cruise, because there had been no word of it until people were able to connect to relatives using their phones.
And it shows you how messed up it is that Carnival was just like, oh, no, we'll be fine. We'll be sailing within a couple hours. And then 18 hours later, they're like, uh-oh, we can't sail. And now it's too late to get back to Mexico. Anyways, I don't want to spoil it, but
that's what you're going to get upset. You're going to get mad watching it, because I got mad watching it.
Crowder, when the other cruise ship is super close, you jump off. They're gonna. You're not dying there. Like, they're
gonna jump off.
Yes.
You jump from one high rise building to the next in New York. That's what people always go.
They're gonna
jump
you
from that building to the next.
I'm with Solana. Man overboard. They have a protocol. Come get me out of this water.
You're
onto the
flopping
ship.
Off something the size of a high rise building. You're not on a dinghy.
I dive well.
People survive that all the time. All the time.
Also, all the time they don't.
You don't cannonball, you pencil.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of people who do like cliff divings. It's just on my algorithm for some reason. I know the trick. You throw a rock first. It disperses the water, and then you fall in right after. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think they're doing that off the cliffs not to disperse the water. I think they're trying to see where their target is.
Nah.
You're jumping into an ocean. There's no – it's like you're not going to hit something other than water, right?
Man overboard if I was on that ship.
If you were jumping from a cliff, why would you try to disperse the water?
Because if not, the water's like it's a glass almost from that height. So you have to throw the rock so that the water there's like a spot for you to land.
Mm.
Is your algorithm damn dummy?
who shares your algorithm? Chris Broussard?
Dummy.
All right, come on, do quick headlines because I want to have enough time with George Shea. You're giving me agita with the amount of movement you have there. Why are you constantly walking around?
What are you talking about?
You're up, you're down, you're looking for something. What is going on there?
He got that stinking little dog running around that room.
What is going on there? Why are you up and looking underneath yourself? And what is going on there?
Yeah, I'm throwing the tennis ball to my dog.
Oh, my God. God,
I saw that little raggedy bastard earlier.
Yes, like a kid that you need to put a helmet on in the school. You're like, well, listen, just wear this helmet, Billy. Trust me. This is like a baseball hat. It's like a baseball hat. I'm gonna put a little helmet on.
Just don't look at me. Don't look at me this segment.
I wish I couldn't.
So So, Lonnie, you still got your helmet from high school?
Listen, man, I put a lot of time and effort to get that Broussard algorithm.
You're still right, doing together, it, huh? So. You're going to do this the whole show? You're going to do that the whole show?
Hell with that little dog.
No, what's happening, Hawk, what's happening is his ball is underneath the couch. He wants a different ball. And he's barking.
You're working.
To get him to stop barking.
You're working.
I know.
You're working. Tell the dog to go away. You're working.
At this point in time, he wants that. I'm just trying to get him not to interrupt the show by barking, which is what he's going to start to do.
Hey, pop him in the face.
Here he goes again.
Slap his face, and he's going to run off scared. And now, problem solved.
Look at this. I've never seen something like this at a work day.
Yeah, I'm actively trying not to interrupt what you guys are doing.
You're actively trying to do something other than the show.
I'm actively trying not to do that. I'm locked in. I'm ready to go.
I mean, I've seen those workout shows that used to be on ESPN with calisthenics with less movement than what you've done for the first segment here on this show.
But I did bring up the poop cruise, which is a good conversation.
Good conversation.
Okay. The four-year extension to the NHL CBA, what Hawk was talking about, just to wrap up headlines here, is going to begin in the 26-27 season, and it's expected to be announced this today at the draft in LA. By the way, the 84-game season and new caps on player contract length, which is pivotal, is part of the new CBA.
You working out, Hawk?
Oh, just moving around. Nothing annoying about that, is there? I'm just getting some calisthenics in.
Stretching is important.
Jimbo. To finish out the headlines, Kasparis Jakučionis, he's here, by the way, and he met with media. We can talk a little bit about some of his quotes a little bit later. Sunday, Inter Miami will play PSG on Sunday in Atlanta.
All right.
They don't have a chance, do they?
They're plus 1,100.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's all I need to know.
All right, guys. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Right now in South Florida, it is partly cloudy.
What are you doing?
Right now in South Florida, it is partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 80s, low 80s. It is very, very hot in Miami.
What's going on there? What's that noise? What is that? The dog, or is that just other people in your house?
He is. I'm going to get this situation under control. I never have this issue, but for some reason, there's something there. There could be like a snake under my couch. He could be trying to protect me, save me.
I mean, this is just impossible. Like, I've never witnessed something like this before from a professional broadcaster. You put the guy's name on the show, and then all of a sudden, he hires himself out as like a dog walker during the show. Like, the 4 hours, four sacred hours. You put your 4 hours in, you do the show, you don't let other things get to you. He's this way, that way. He's mopping the floors. He's got Fabuloso out. He's going to be doing the toilets. Like, what are we doing here?
Can't you put the dog in the bathroom?
No, I mean, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to put him in the crate. He'll be okay. But for some reason, right now, there's something that is, he could be saving my life, and you're hating on him, right?
He
could be
saving my life. He said that goofy crap a second ago. He's not saving nothing. He's bad, and he doesn't know what's going on, and you need to put him in somewhere.
He's not bad. He found something, and he's trying to let me know.
A dust bunny. He found a dust bunny.
George Shea from Major League Eating, the commissioner of Major League Eating. In 1 week, it's the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's one of my favorite summertime events. This is when it, you know, really hits you. There's nothing to talk about. George Shea is going to join us in the next segment.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I don't think you could offer me any money for my dog. I love my dog.
I got 100,000 cash.
Take them.
One of my favorite times of year. 4th of July coming up. and George Shea is the commissioner of Major League Eating, and he's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. And Crowder, over the course of many years of this show, George Shea has been a guest who delivers. He delivers on quality radio content, but he also delivers at quality eating content on ESPN and for those live in attendance at Coney Island. So, George, thank you for making time for us. Obviously, you're 1 week away from the biggest day of the year in Major League Eating, so we know you're busy. So thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having me. I always love to be on the show, and you're right. We're in the vortex headed for the 4th of July.
So take us a little bit behind the scenes here. There were definitely last year some hurt feelings, and Joey Chestnut and Major League Eating and Nathan's, there was a lot of frayed feelings and frayed relationships. Take us behind the scenes. How did you, Major League Eating, Nathan's, Joey Chestnut, his sponsors, how did you patch it up so that he is back for the hot dog eating contest?
Well, you know, it was really well reported in the media and covered extensively. And what the media said was, you know, that there was a contract dispute over, you know, a rival sponsor and, you know, a back and forth and this and that. I think the media was largely accurate. The one thing that people probably don't know is that all parties were talking until the very last moment, until the 4th of July. We didn't get it together last year, but the conversations continued, and Joey continued to compete in Major League Eating events. And we just kept sort of talking and talking, and it really actually took a long time. But, you know, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, we were all able to come together, and he is going to be there. And I have to say, the fans and media are extremely excited, as am I, and it sort of sets up a very dramatic and triumphant return.
And George, as like the thing with Ace Bailey recently in the NBA draft, he didn't want to go to certain teams, and his team was, you know, they're trying to manipulate the draft, and then Shedeur Sanders with him trying to impress NFL teams, they think they should impress him. Athletes are changing. Are you seeing athletes change in your sport as well?
100%. And I think it comes down to the point where even in competitive eating, which is not as long-standing a sport as football, baseball, basketball, etc., you have a star culture, I think, everywhere, perhaps in the world, but certainly in the United States. And the eaters recognize that when they gain this position, that they need to be paid for that. And, so there is no one in our world, and I think even culturally in the United States, who's really gained the position that Joey has. In particular, I would say that literally in the United States, an athletic figure, a sports figure, a cultural figure, who has become associated with the 4th of July. I mean, there's, you know, Nathan's has been long associated with the 4th of July, but Joey is now the 4th of July, and that has value.
But even if you take it a step further, is there anyone in sport who dominates their particular sport the way that Joey Chestnut has dominated competitive eating?
I think the answer to that is no. And I think that, you know, a lot of comparisons made with Tom Brady and, you know, his championship rings and et cetera, et cetera. But there's no one as dominant as Joey in their individual sport. And as I said, you know, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, I mean, just go on and on. There are tons and tons of sports heroes, but they are not necessarily American heroes, right? So maybe Simone Biles or, you know, some of the other sort of Olympic athletes. But Joey's connection to the United States of America, I think, is very powerful.
So is he the immediate favorite for next Friday? Like, he comes back, the announcement is made, and the odds just go off the board for him to win it again?
You know, yes, he is without any question the odds-on favorite to win Patrick Bertoletti, a good friend of his, ate 58 hot dogs and buns last year. The rumor on the street is that he has upped that number. But has he upped it into the 70s? I don't know about that. But the Vegas odds right now on Joey, the over-under, is 71, which I think, personally, I cannot, as chair of Major League Eating, the world body that governs all stomach-centric sport, I cannot weigh in or wager. But to me, that seems like a very conservative number on that. I suspect a lot of people will be taking the over.
George, you mentioned, you know, fans and Major League Eating are thrilled that Joey's coming back next Friday. But what about his competitors? You know, are they just excited for the fact that they're going to go up against the best and they want to take down the best? Or are they bummed out because now, you know, the GOAT is back?
Well, I think there's a reality factor. I don't know if they would, like, literally sort of be down about that or bummed out. But last year, all these folks are friends with Joey, and as are we. But, you know, he was gone. That opened up the contest, and it became extremely competitive. So I think you have a situation this year where they begin to think, I just don't know that I'm getting into the 70s. So it changes slightly the disposition of their performance. So, I mean, I do think it has an impact on them. But I do think also, kind of as you say, they will be involved in this sort of semi-historic moment when Joey comes back, right? Like, so we've been very fortunate, and some would say that there's been a lot of sort of machinations behind the scenes, but we've been very fortunate to have a scandal or issue or controversy almost every year, and that drives the media. So last year was deeply unfortunate that he couldn't be there, but on the other hand, we got more press than we had in about 15 years, right? And then, you know, great viewership, you know, a great audience. It's going to be much more this year, right? You're going to really boost it because we've got all this momentum from his return. So I think the event benefits ultimately.
But doesn't the other competitors, like with the sports, you know, rest rust argument, George, where hell, he's a year out of Nathan's. Maybe he can't do what he did.
Well, but
he
did the competition against Kobayashi, though. And he was up against maybe even tougher competition. He hasn't been rusty.
Yeah, I don't actually think Kobayashi would beat Pat Bertoletti, but I think it's a very good point. He has been competing even in hot dogs. I was with him. I would just like to let you guys know, in Knoxville just about a month ago when he won the Dead End Barbecue Bologna Eating Championship with 14 pounds of bologna in 10 minutes, which was nothing short of poetic, really. It was spectacular.
Is there an avocado toast record? Because I think I'd like to enter some sort of competition there.
Well, no, but perhaps for you, the Poke Bowl contest. We have almost every kitchen cabinet food, but avocado toast has not happened yet.
Oh, really? So maybe I could start that and do it under the umbrella of Major League Eating, some sort of rev share here, George?
We're always open to ideas like that, and I would be very pleased to hold your arm up as champion of the avocado toast eating champion of the world.
Wow!
Yes.
Now that you
perhaps
say
when
that,
I'm in Florida next, we should do something. We should do it.
Because when I hear that come out of your mouth, raise your arm as the avocado toast eating champion of the world, and it's coming out of the mouth of George Shea, the commissioner of Major League Eating, the face and the voice of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, it gives me chills. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, maybe this is something that we can pursue. I mean, I'm 55, but it's never too old to live out a dream, is it, George?
It is not. You know, it was the day he heard the solemn call to heed the needs of a nation and advance the purpose of the United States. Yes, I would like that very much. And along those lines, I would like to say this. It's a little bit of a departure, but I am hosting and Major League Eating is sanctioning the first ever all goat, like actual goat animal eating contest. They will be eating invasive weeds. And that's the week after the 4th. And you can imagine my excitement because think of this from a franchise perspective. If we can get beyond the human species into the animal kingdom, think of the opportunity that that creates for us. So, right. So we will, you know, not only the 4th of July, but the next week, the first ever all animal, a goat invasive eating.
And that would be so much better for you as the commissioner of a league, because then you don't have to deal with the personalities like Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. I mean, you're dealing with animals. They can't voice concerns over pay or whatever.
That's exactly right. And I think they are domesticated animals. And if we get into the wild animals, which obviously just logistically is more difficult, but you know, then I think we'll have trouble.
Sure.
I'm very excited about that. And I would remind you guys, I know that you recall this, but in 2011, we had the first ever elephant versus human hot dog bun eating contest. And we were destroyed by the elephants. They didn't even know they were in a contest and they destroyed us. And it was a black eye for our species. So like
greyhound racing or horse racing, where now we can bet on the big black goat to win
right.
it all?
Yes. Well, right. Yes. There's one goat called Butterball who seems to have the edge. I don't know if goats are like cows where they have multiple stomachs, but if that's the case, then obviously they have an advantage over humans. Like I don't think humans should be eating against goats.
Competition though, shouldn't you know the digestive system of the animals competing?
Well, that presumes that I'm a responsible individual who focuses on details. I'm going to roll up to the goat eating contest with my hat and think about what I say on the subway. But it's a very good cause because it's for right. Riverside Park in New York City, which is a great park. And so it's pro bono, in which case that's Latin for less preparation on my part.
I can confirm, by the way, goats do have multiple stomachs, George. They do, in fact, have multiple
stomachs.
Look at
that. Even less work that you have to do now, George.
Thank you. I don't know whether that was ChatGPT or Google, but that's very helpful. Less work.
Consider that my resume, me turning my resume for the research department at Major League.
Yes.
Who's the biggest breakout crossover star in competitive eating history? Is it Joey Chestnut? I guess Kobayashi, you could make an argument because he was under your umbrella. Or is it Badlands Booker, who is at this level of subscriptions on YouTube, and he was on America's Got Talent, and he seems to be all over the place as well. Who's the biggest breakout star who was ever currently or once under the Major League Eating umbrella?
So Badlands is certainly up there. It would be Matt Stoney, who was a young man. It started at 18 in our sport, and I was with him. We were in a layover. We were both going to a contest in the hinterland somewhere, and he said to me, we were hanging out at the airport, young guy, sweet guy, and he said, I may start like a YouTube channel, and if I could get like 100,000 followers, I could make some real money. And I said, you know, that sounds great. Good luck on that. Like, you know, in heartfelt. And then right. now he has 16.5 million followers on YouTube. And obviously, yes, 16.5. And he makes millions of dollars a year. Badlands has 3.5, 3.6 million. He's making a significant amount of money. He's well known. I was with Badlands in Coney Island. We were doing like a rap video. It's of course my rapping is atrocious and embarrassing, but that's what we were doing. A kid came up to us. He was shaking, literally shaking. He was so excited to meet Badlands. Now Badlands has made his real fame. He's been eating since 1997, but his fame came in chugging, and he is right. the chugging champion of the world this year. And this is breaking news. I don't know if you have like a ticker sound or something, but this is breaking news.
We do. We don't know how to play it, but we do. Just rest assured that we have one.
Okay, very good. Well, nonetheless, breaking news, Badlands will be attempting to chug 2 gallons of Nathan's lemonade, which has never been done. And I don't believe it could be done, whether your stomach is human or goat. I mean, it's just going to require a lot of capacity.
You know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing, and I use the term preparing loosely, for your appearance today, because I was going to ask about avocado toast for myself. What about some sort of chugging competition for Alfredo sauce, which is where Crowder could come in because he loves Alfredo sauce. And I wonder, has Badlands ever, you know, chugged a gallon of Alfredo sauce? And how would that work out?
Badlands has not, but I think it's just a matter of not having the opportunity. He would absolutely do that. And I fear, Crowder, that he would beat you soundly. Like, I've seen him just down, like, just enormous amounts of fluid. It doesn't have to be actually a drink or a water. But also, you bring up something where we touch on the eating style used for baked beans, which is not chewing and not eating, but actually to pour the baked beans into your mouth and essentially drink them. And I believe the record is 10 pounds held by Gideon Oji, 10 pounds of baked beans in 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Ooh. Almost like a boba tea, right? That would have the consistency of just downing those boba pellets. Well,
be in the arena of Alfredo sauce. That is a little bit more viscous.
I'm going to start practicing.
Yeah, you should. Well, I mean, you eat plenty of Alfredo sauce, so consider yourself already training for this.
The underdogs went all the time with Russia, U.S., and the Olympics. Come on now.
Right, you never know what can happen. George Shea, tell everybody how they can watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest next Friday.
So it will be on ESPN. The women's will be on ESPN3 live. Then they will recap that on the men's, which takes place at 12 noon Eastern. And it will be on various different ESPN channels at that time. And then they re-air that two or three times that day and then again the next day. But if you want to come in off the beach or from wherever you are and watch it at 3 or 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, they're re-airing it.
Mickey Sudo, still the odds-on women's favorite?
51 hot dogs and buns, which was more than Kobayashi ate when he first broke the record in the U.S. and astounded our country. She's going to be trying to break that record. Last year, when Joey was out, Patrick Bertoletti ate 58. She wanted to compete against the men because she would have come in like third. She thought she might be able to win. She would still come in third or fourth in the men's contest. That's how good she is.
Will the GOATS contest be separated by gender?
No. The goats eat at the table just like a family, men and women alike. And
female goats, or is goats one? I don't know. Why are you going to yell at me, Crowder? Well, because
they make babies.
Well, no, but don't they call like a cow a something and a steer is the other or whatever? Like, so I thought maybe a goat was the male and a mule.
No, there may be something that we should be on Google right now, because I think you're quite right. Like there's a name for a male goat, but there will be male and female goats. It is my understanding. And my understanding is superficial, that the female goat is bigger than the male goat, just like a spider or something like that.
Interesting. That is really, it is truly fascinating. I love the inner workings. I love the fact that he's got time for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which is a national event. I mean, it really signifies summer and 4th of July, yet he's also got enough time to devote to these goats eating. And what are they eating again, the goats?
They'll be eating invasive weeds. And I want to point out that I'm giving back. I'm giving back in this case. And and I always appreciate, I like to give back because I can determine how much I give. And it's not often that much. And so it's really my job in life. It's really a ministry. It's really a public service. Right. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Right. Fantastic. Will the goats have names? Like, will I just be pointing at a goat?
The problem with the goat arena, the sector of our sport, is that people are indulging in cute names like Malamar and Butterball. And that's the nicknames, unless you have a really good nickname, like, for instance, one I made up for the Eaters, the Red Horse of Death. I'm not going to use those on the 4th of July. Like, Joe... The stomach Manchetti or something, not going to happen. Right. Not going to happen. Right. But I cannot do anything unless I were to rename the goats, because it's not a nickname. It is the name Malamar. So I'm not really sure. That's just where we are.
Right. Well, it's at the nascent stages of this goat eating contest, but 10 years from now, I mean, we'll be talking about the red goat of death, and it could be a combat sport. Who knows? George Shea, he is the commissioner of Major League Eating. I feel like he is just kindred spirit when it comes to the tenor of this show, but I really am excited. 1 week from today, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on Coney Island. You can watch it on ESPN. And it is the return, after a one-year absence, of Joey Chestnut, a true American hero. George, good luck with the contest. And as always, we appreciate your time.
Very fun to talk to you guys, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yeah. When's the goat thing? Because I want to have you on before and after that. I really want to get into that. When is that?
The goat is the Saturday after the 4th of July. But I will hit you with any breaking news we have. You will be the first to know.
Yeah.
You got some today, but I'll keep you posted.
Please. Appreciate that. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
All right. George Shea from Major League Eating. I mean, just, I love living in that world, his world.
There's a species of animal. That's what it's called.
Well, no. If I say, is it a male bull or a female bull, you would go, no, there is no female bull.
A bull is a male cow.
Is it?
A cow is a male cow. It's like deer.
Are we sure?
There's deer, there's bucks and does, but they're both deer.
We know
deer.
That for sure.
Yes, we know it. I'm telling you this fact.
Because there's horses, there's fillies, there's mares.
No, they're horses.
Are they?
There's also species that can turn into another sex in order to reproduce. I believe the seahorse is one of them in the ocean, Crowder. So maybe the goat is similar in that fact.
Parrotfish can do it too. Mm. Goats aren't changing their sex.
Says who?
Says the God.
Well, we'll see what George Shea has to say after the Saturday after the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have a package of frozen corn dogs in my freezer right now as we speak.
I'm sorry to hear that.